for the Nerdalog's own Andrew Bentley.
Andrew Bentley!
Yeah! Isn't Andrew the dreamiest? Look at this guy.
No, when they first announced the subject for this, I was super excited. I had so much for Crime and Punishment. It's my favorite novel.
It's a good fucking book.
I studied criminology in college in addition to acting, because for a while I was going to go into the FBI. That was a thing. And listening to all the funny stories everyone told in the first half, I keep wanting to talk about one of those things instead of what I came in here to talk about, which is probably a good sign that I should talk about what I came in here to talk about. It's something I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around in a lot of ways, so you'll have to forgive me if I rambled first. I'm going to kind of come at this from a couple of directions. Firstly, there's a parable, and an old one. It dates back, thousands of years. It's changed over time, but the most common iteration of it is the frog and the scorpion. I don't know if people know this. The idea is that one day a scorpion comes to a river, and it can't get across the river, so it talks to the frog and asks the frog to carry it across the river. The frog says, well, no, I won't. You're a scorpion. And the scorpion says, why? It's like, I'm not going to sting you, because if I stung you, we both would drown. And the frog thinks this over and says, okay, all right, fine, that makes sense. And lets the scorpion hop on his back and starts to swim across the river. And halfway across, the scorpion stings the frog. And as the poison's filling the frog's veins, the frog, says, why? Now we're both going to drown. And the scorpion says, because it's my nature. This is a shitty fucking parable. Because while it does illuminate the idea that, you can't force something to be something that it's not. It also sort of serves as a handy, encapsulated way to write off people because of their nature. I'm going to switch tracks here for a second. I generally don't do a lot for my birthdays. I don't make a big deal. My birthdays, I never have. This past year, my past birthday, what I did is I went and I worked till 8 o'clock at night, and then I came back to Lakeview, and I got coffee with Dawn. Dawn is a friend of mine. Dawn is also a homeless person. He could be seen around Broadway, Lakeview, the whole area there. And I've been talking with him, for several months, had coffee with him a few times. He was in there pretty regularly. We got dinner once or twice, just talking. He was a super nice guy. Old, lived through a lot. We had some really good conversations. He kind of talked about some of the stuff he'd been through. And I didn't have a lot to add on that hand, but I could do other things. He talked about how, he was kind of slow with reading, but he really liked stories about brothers and about Americana. So I gave him a book of my Sam Shepard play, or I gave him my book of Sam Shepard plays. We talked about those as he read through it. But it was a nice evening. It was a nice way to spend my birthday evening before I, went to bed and got up to go to work again because I had to turn around. Towards the end of the evening, he asked me a favor. He said that he'd gotten a lead on his son, who he hadn't seen in years and years. And he's like, I've got, it's somewhere he was, like a year ago. But it was definitely him. He was definitely living there at the time. And he's like, I don't have access to a computer. I don't have any way to try. I just want to, I want to see him. And I said, sure, absolutely. I took the information. I was like, I'll find him for you if I can. So I took that and I went home and, in little time at, at home or at work, because I'm a bad employee, I would, you know, backtrack what I could, and I had to. It took a while. I had to, you know, go back through some previous addresses and, you know, match, you know, phone number databases and everything. But eventually, after about a month and a half, maybe 2 months, I was, you know, pretty much, you know, 99% certain I had found his son, where he was living in a trailer park in Gary, Indiana. And I was excited at the time, and I told someone, you know, I told someone, I was like, hey, I just found this, this is great, I'm gonna go get Dawn, you know, this information, but I told her the whole story too, which is, Dawn confided something else into me, which is that when we first met, he'd, you know, told me, oh, you know, before this, he was working on some farms down in southern Illinois, and on my birthday, after he'd asked me to help him find his son, he confided me that, well, no, that's not true. He spent that time in prison. And, you know, he was upfront about that. He's like, that's, you know, that's just why I haven't seen my son in forever. I do know that he had a daughter while I was in prison. I've never met, you know, my granddaughter. And so, of course, I was initially, I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely, this is going to be great. Well, when I told the person, you know, when I was excited about this, they brought up the idea of, well, you don't know why he was in prison. You know, why would you give him that information? And that was something that hadn't occurred to me. And it, you know, it festered in me a little bit. And eventually I came around to the idea that, well, no, I guess I didn't have the right to give this information out. That I didn't, you know, that to me, Dawn was this nice, you know, Morgan Freeman figure, but that I didn't, you know, what he was going to do when he got out there. I didn't know why he was in jail, even. So I kept the information to myself. And the next time I saw Dawn, you know, standing out in Lakeview, I walked, you know, 2.5 blocks out of my way to get home. So I didn't have to, you know, look him in the face and lie to him. And I avoided him a couple times after that. And I didn't go and get coffee or dinner with him or anything. And then Dawn disappeared. And I haven't seen him in months. And it was possible that he found the information another way. That someone else got him that information, and that, you know, he went out to Gary, and, you know, he apologized to his son, and he met his granddaughter, and that, you know, he spent Christmas there, and that, you know, that's where he is right now. There's another possibility, because Dawn confided one other thing in me, which was that he had chronic kidney disease, and he was basically dying. And Dawn, the thing he wanted to do before he died was to see his son. And I consider Dawn a friend, but, you know, when it came time to do something more than buy him coffee or dinner or give him a book or listen and talk with him, when he really honestly needed me to be a friend to him, I failed him. And in Cook County, the bodies of indigent people are, they're put in a mass grave out in, I can't remember the name of the cemetery at the time, but they did a study last year, and they found that most of them are mixed up with, you know, each other and animal bones and all sorts of things. And for all I know, that's where Tom is right now. I haven't seen him. And that's only because I, despite my, you know, my delusions of being a, you know, an understanding, you know, gung-ho, liberal, prison reform, you know, understanding person, at the end of the day, I couldn't separate Don from whatever it is he did. I decided that even though he had done in his time that, you know, that wasn't enough. And to bring back to the parable, I decided that, you know, maybe that was his nature, and it was something he couldn't change. I feel kind of bad, because I don't really have a thesis for this. You know, I don't have a moral that I'm going to say, you know, wrap things up on a bow and leave you all with, but it's something I really needed to talk about, because I'm not sure I did the wrong thing, you know, but I will never have, you know, any way of knowing. And I would just like to say that it's important to help people now. You know, when they actually need it, because you may not get a second chance. Yeah, thank you very much for listening.